Hello again. You're listening to the news at one. The number of people killed or wounded by cluster munitions increased eightfold last year to more than 1,000. It was mostly due to their use in the war in Ukraine, according to a report by the Cluster Munitions Coalition Campaign Group. We can talk now on the line from Geneva to Mary Wareham, who's BAN policy editor with Cluster Munition Monitor 2023. A very good afternoon to you, Mary Wareham, and thank you for talking to us this afternoon.
Thank you.
So what is your report saying then about the use, particularly in the war in Ukraine, of these cluster munitions?
Yes, so cluster munitions have caused untold harm and suffering in Ukraine since the very first day of the Russian invasion in February 2022. This report tracks the 890 people killed and wounded, the vast majority civilians, from Russia's use of cluster munitions. And then some very much smaller proportion of those casualties are also from Ukraine's use of these weapons. It's unconscionable to see cluster munitions killing and maiming civilians like this 15 years after the convention prohibiting these weapons was adopted at Croke Park in Dublin in May 2008. So I should mention that it's not just Ukraine, though. Myanmar and Syria also recorded new casualties from cluster munitions, and none of those countries are part of the treaty.
But the big increase, this eightfold increase to more than 1,000 killed and injured, that really is down to the war in Ukraine.
Unfortunately, yes. Cluster munitions are being used in vast numbers, fired from rocket, artillery, and missiles, and we've documented some devastating attacks at Human Rights Watch, and other members of the coalition have also done the same. So it's a real shame to see the widespread use of cluster munitions, and now the transfer of these weapons from the United States to Ukraine. That's only going to add to the human suffering happening right now, but also for years and decades into the future from the remnants that fail to explode.
And of those killed and injured, what proportion is it known are civilians?
Approximately 95% we believe to be civilians, although, you know, militaries are loath to release data on their casualties to cluster munitions. But the vast majority are civilians, and unfortunately from the remnants, about 70% are children who are attracted by the unique shape and size, ribbons and other features that are on the submunitions that fail to explode. These are like little landmines that were supposed to explode when they were first used, but they're still claiming lives and limbs around the world, including in Laos, from the use by the United States 50 years ago.
And is it because of unexploded ordnance that civilian casualties are so high?
The casualties are very high in our report this year due to the attacks, due to the new use of cluster munitions by Russian forces in Ukraine, as well as by Ukraine, as well as in Myanmar. For the first time, we've documented the use of airdropped cluster bombs in that country by the junta, and then in Syria, where unfortunately the use of cluster munitions continues despite that entire decade of harm and suffering caused by the weapons in the 2010s.
And in relation to Ukraine, of course, you say that certainly for last year, it was for the most part, but not exclusively, the Russian use of cluster bombs. But of course, the United States is now sending cluster munitions to the Ukrainians. So their use, presumably by Ukraine, will be stepped up.
That's what we're seeing. This report documents the reactions to that cluster munition transfer, but we've not been able to document the use of the US cluster munitions in the war in Ukraine yet. That will be for next year. But unfortunately, from what we know from the past 30 years of documenting harm from cluster munitions, there will be harm and suffering in Ukraine from these weapons until they are cleared, which we know can take years, if not decades.
The United States says that these are munitions which will be used only in a battlefield context, and that the kind of failures, the failure to detonate that then creates a hazard to civilians later on, that's much less in U.S. Occurs much less in U.S. manufactured cluster bombs. Does that argument hold water?
Not really. You know, we've documented the use of unreliable cluster munitions manufactured by the United States over several decades, and unfortunately they haven't gotten any better, but it doesn't matter because the treaty that was negotiated in Ireland in 2008 doesn't distinguish over the failure rates of the cluster munitions. It's an all-out ban on cluster munitions. So the failure rates don't really matter, but don't believe what the Pentagon is saying on this. The 2.35% failure rate, we view it as being higher, much higher, around about 14% will fail to detonate. And when you're talking about tens of thousands of cluster of individual submunitions being fired at the moment, that's a huge number to clear up in the years to come.
Just finally, government ministers here have given a commitment that the United States won't be allowed to transport cluster munitions via Ireland, via Shannon Airport. Yes. Is that something that a contribution that a country like Ireland can make?
Yeah, that's really important to get that confirmation from the United States. You know, the United States stockpiles cluster munitions at several U.S. bases and European states parties. And we've been asking questions about how the cluster munitions were transferred. How did they transit through or across the airspace or through the territory of countries that have joined the convention? So this is exactly what the states parties like Ireland need to be asking and seeking from United States is assurances. But they also need to be telling the United States not to send the cluster munitions in the first place due to the civilian harm that's going to be caused.
Mary Warham from the Cluster Munitions Coalition, thank you very much for speaking to us.